The following sermon, entitled Walking the Old Paths, was preached on the evening of June 13, 2021 at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. If you enjoy listening to our sermons, we encourage you to come worship with us. For more information on service times and upcoming Bible study opportunities, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Our scripture reading this evening is found in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6, we will read the whole chapter. The text for this evening's sermon will be verse 16. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hekerim. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I've likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about, and they shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us! For the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in, I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out mine hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We've heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and the fear, and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Make bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among thy people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corrupters. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. We end our scripture reading at that point. The text for this evening's sermon is verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. This word of God came to the people of Judah during a time of apostasy. For to use the language of the text, the people of Judah had departed from the old paths that God had clearly marked out for them in His Word. And instead of following those old paths, they had gone the way of the nations around them. They had followed the example of the wicked in their walk in sin. Into that situation, God sent His prophet, Jeremiah. And he came with a word of warning. He warned them of the judgment that would come upon them for their sin. And thus He called the people to repentance. That is, He called the people to return unto the right way, to walk once again in the old paths. And that's God's calling to us. Really, this is God's calling to the church throughout all ages, the calling to walk in the old paths. And this is an important calling exactly because, as we will see, our inclination is to go to the new paths, to walk in the ways of sin. And thus we need to hear this word tonight, a reminder to walk in the good way that is pleasing unto our God. So the theme for tonight's sermon will be walking in the old paths. Walking in the old paths. First, we're going to look at the old paths themselves. Second, the urgent calling, namely to walk therein. And third, the promised rest. The old paths, the urgent calling, and the promised rest. Main idea of this passage is the calling to walk in the old paths. But before we can get to that urgent calling, we need to understand clearly what are the old paths that this passage is talking about. The old paths are the way that God has clearly prescribed in His Word for His people to walk in. The text speaks of the old paths and the good way. And for it to use that language of a path or a way or a road or a trail is for the Scriptures to use a rather familiar figure of speech. When Scripture speaks of man's path, his way, it's talking about his walk of life. It refers to his conduct, to his behavior, how he lives his life, or at least how he ought to live his life. And the text speaks of paths, plural, because there's so many different aspects to our lives. Each one of us has different spheres of our life that all come together to form our pathway, our walk of life. And now we're to walk in the old paths. And these paths are as old as they can possibly be, because these are the paths that God has marked out from all eternity. The text itself points us in that direction, to that understanding, when it uses the specific word that it does for the old paths. That word old is more often than not translated as eternal. These are the eternal paths, in that these are the paths that God in eternity, before the foundation of the world, prescribed, ordained, marked out for His people. And He has revealed those eternal paths to us in His Word, in the Scriptures. He sets before us the old paths in that way. And because these are the old paths that come from God's own will, that's what makes them the good paths. Verse 16 speaks of the old path, and then it immediately adds, where is the good way? So it's connecting the old with the good. And what makes them good is not simply that they are old, but what makes them good is because God Himself says they are good. This is the way that's pleasing unto Him. This is the way that brings glory unto His name. This is the way that is the way of wisdom. And so the calling is to walk in the old paths, that is, the way that God Himself has prescribed in His Word for us to walk, for us to live. But now that implies the opposite, the negative. That implies, do not walk in the new paths. Where is the bad way? There are new paths, and the new paths are any and every departure from the old paths. And they're new exactly because man himself came up with them. Man in his sin, his rebellion, his opposition against God seeks to blaze new trails to walk on the paths of sin, and that's what makes them the bad way. This is the way of wickedness. This is the way of folly. This is the way that's not pleasing unto our God. So there's the old paths and the new paths. And God calls all of His people to walk in the old paths. And we want to look more specifically now at what that means. What that meant, first of all, for the people of Judah. And then what that means for us today. This calling came to the people of Judah, first of all, living in Jeremiah's day. And God had shown to them the old paths. And for them, those old paths were set forth most clearly in the law of Moses. In the law of Moses, God prescribed for His people how they were to live, down to even certain levels of detail for them. Told them, first of all, how to live generally, and that He gave them the moral law. He said, here's the pathway to walk on, the path of love. Because He told them already in the Old Testament, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And then the parallel lane running side by side with that was the calling to love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the old path. Do not walk on the new path, that is, the pathway of sin and immorality, the pathway of hatred of God or hatred of the neighbor. But not only did God tell them how to live generally in giving them the moral law, He also gave them the civil law, and thus taught them how to, the pathway that they were to walk on as a nation, how to function together as a people. And it was not the new way of every man doing right, what was right in his own eyes, but it was the old path of following the ordinances that God himself had given to his people as a sort of trail map for how to live and function as a nation, as a people. It was the old path of submitting to authority. It was the old path of handling disputes as God himself prescribed. But then thirdly, he also taught them how to worship him, and that he gave them the ceremonial laws. He set before them the path of proper worship. He told them when to worship, where to worship, how to worship. He taught them that the only pathway into his presence was the path that went past the altar where the sacrifices were made, where blood was shed. And thus for the people to worship Baal or to worship God in some other way was to depart from the old path and to walk on a new path. So God gave them, set before them the pathways they were supposed to walk generally in the moral law regarding their life as a nation in the civil law and how to worship him in the ceremonial law. But now from all of that and from the whole of his word, he also set before them the pathway of what to believe. For what to believe about God himself. For God's law itself is a revelation of his character, so that when we look at the commandments, we see that he's a God of authority, a God of love, a God of purity, the God of providence, the God of truth. And so many other aspects of who he is set forth in his law. He was teaching them what to believe about him. He taught them what to believe about salvation, especially in the ceremonial laws that had at the heart of it the sacrifices that were made, the bloodshed that was there, all of that was pointing to the coming of the Messiah. Look to him for salvation. For that's the old path. For what to believe. And God tells us to walk on the old paths as well. And really, it's not all that different than the old paths he set before Judah. We can look at the same four things, only we'll take them in reverse order when we talk about how this applies to us. God gives us directions. He gives us a roadmap, and that he's given us the entirety of his word. And his word tells us, first of all, what to believe. The right path regarding who God is. Not the new path of a God who did not create all things in 6 24-hour days. Not the new path of a God who is not sovereign in our salvation. But the scriptures set before us the old paths regarding what to believe concerning God. That he is the Almighty Creator and the sovereign Redeemer of his people. The scriptures also set before us what to believe concerning salvation. And all along that old path, there are clear road signs that pop up again and again and again that say, Christ alone. If you're walking on a path and you see the sign that says, Christ alone, then you know you're on the old path. But as soon as you see a different road sign that says, Christ and, or Christ plus, a different road sign that says, you have to do good works in order to get yourself saved, or a road sign that says there's conditions that must be met to be saved, then you're not on the old path anymore. You're on the new path now, the way that man himself has marked out for salvation. But not only does God set before us the old paths regarding what to believe, he also gives us the old paths of how to worship him. How to worship him. Not the new path of trying to be relevant in the worship service. Not the new path of catering the worship service to appeal to the world around us. But the old paths. for worship. Worshiping God as He commands. It's the path that makes preaching the very centerpiece of the worship service. It's the pathway that includes singing the old, old songs of Zion, that is, the Psalms, God's own inspired song book. There are also the old paths regarding how to live together as a people, the old paths of church government, not the new paths of having one man on the top who calls all the shots. Not the new paths that downplay the need for decency and good order, or that minimize the importance of instruction in the church. But when we look at God's Word and try to see what the old paths are regarding church government and how to live as a people, we see that the old path is having a plurality of office bearers. It's the old path of having ordinances for the maintenance of the body of Christ that serve the promotion of decency and good order in the church. It's the old path that sees the importance of instruction so that we have expository preaching, so that we have preaching in the Heidelberg Catechism, so that we have catechism instruction for the youth. Those are the old paths. There are also the old paths regarding how to live our lives. The new path says, let's be conformed to the world around us. The new path says, let's indulge in the pleasures of sin, but the old path is different. The old path is a path of an antithetical lifestyle, a lifestyle that's different than the wicked world around us. The old path is that of self-denial, of saying no to sin, of taking up our cross and following after Jesus Christ. Those are the old paths that God sets before us. And obviously there's so much more that we could say because there's so many different aspects to our life, but they all come together to make one way, one good and right way that's pleasing to our God. And now for guidance and direction regarding what is the right way and what are the old paths, we can look to those who've gone before us. For there are indeed many who've walked these old paths before us. That's implied here in this passage. When it describes these paths as the old paths, we said that word old could rightly be translated as eternal, and thus refers to the fact that this is God's eternal will for us. But the other way you could translate that word old is ancient. These are ancient paths that have been there for hundreds, even thousands of years, and God's people have always walked on these paths. And that's the case is also evident from that word path. That word path is not the generic word for a road or a way, but it's a specific word that refers to a path that's been formed because countless footsteps have trodden that same path, so that it's the footstep itself that have worn that path in the ground, implying that many have gone along this way. And understand that's a part of what makes this the good way. The old paths are the paths that have been tried and tested. These pathways are proven. God's people have walked on them for hundreds of years and have said, yes, these are the good ways. And thus, the old paths are the ones that are trustworthy. There's safety, there's security in walking along the old paths. And thus, when we seek to walk along the old paths, we can look to those who've gone before us for guidance and direction. We seek to follow in their footsteps. This was true for the people of Judah. They should have sought to follow in the footsteps of those who'd gone before them. They should have looked at the godly examples of so many saints that had walked these paths and tried to follow along. This is true for the people as a whole. They could look at godly examples of individuals. They could look at the patriarchs and see that the old path is the path of not setting our hearts here below, but setting our hearts on the heavenly city that is to come. The office bearers could look to godly saints in the past for good examples. Jeremiah could look at an Elijah and Isaiah and say, that's God's calling. I can see in them God's calling for me as a prophet. King Josiah could look back at godly King David and say, he walked the old paths, now I'm going to follow the same path. And the same holds true for us. Walking the old paths means following those who've gone before us in the good way. Means taking a stand against any introduction of conditions into the covenant, even as our forefathers did in 1953. Walking the old paths means going the same route as the founding fathers of our denomination when they took a stance against common grace and the well-meant offer and viewed them as unbiblical. Walking the old paths means following the example of the saints who lived during the time of the canons of Dort, who defended God's sovereign grace in our salvation, who are opposed to Arminian theology. Walking the old paths means following the footsteps of the reformers and their reforms regarding worship and their understanding that justification is by faith alone without works. And now one very concrete, practical application of that is having, teaching, and defending the creeds and the confessions. We are a confessional church, and we're not ashamed to say that. And for us, our confessions are the old paths. Not because they're on par with Scripture, not because they have the same authority as Scripture, but because they're a faithful summary of what Scripture teaches. And thus there's safety, there's security in the creeds and the confessions because they represent what the church has believed for hundreds, even thousands of years. And that includes the church order. The church order sets before us the old path for how a church is to be governed. It's the way the church has governed herself for over 400 years. So walking the old paths means following the footsteps of those who've gone before us. And all of this is a part of a proper, balanced view of tradition and church history. There are wrong views of tradition and church history. And on the one hand, the most prevalent wrong view is old is bad. That's the view of the world around us. The world around us views tradition past as irrelevant, as not helpful, as boring, as restrictive. Instead of walking on the old paths, the world says we need new paths. We need to get with the times. We need to be on the right side of history, the world says. The wrong view, one wrong view of the tradition is to discard it, therefore. There's a hankering for that which is new and novel. There's a desire for change simply for the sake of change. That's one wrong view concerning tradition, concerning the old past, to say old is inherently bad. But on the other side, there's the wrong view of assuming that if it is old, it is therefore good. The other error here with regard to tradition and history is to say, well, this is the way we've always done it. And to stop there, to be content with that answer. The error on this side is a sentimental traditionalism that's opposed to any change whatsoever, because change is inherently bad. And this wrong view has manifested itself in church history, specifically in the Roman Catholic Church, which has taken tradition and elevated it so that it's on par and in some ways even above Scripture itself. Two wrong views. But this text, in calling us to walk on the old paths, sets before us the proper, balanced view regarding tradition and church history. For on the one hand, it recognizes the value, the importance, the safety even, of walking on the old paths. Really, that's the point of this particular passage. We're to walk on the old paths as so many before us have gone. This teaches us that there's value in studying church history, in studying historical theology. And the Belgic itself, the Belgic Confession itself, is an example for us in this regard. To give one example, Belgic Confession Article 9 is one of many examples in which the Belgic Confession is clearly connecting itself to the church of the past. Article 9 is the proof for the doctrine of the Trinity. And Article 9 of the Belgic Confession ends this way. This doctrine of the Holy Trinity hath always been defended and maintained by the true church since the time of the apostles to this very day against, and then it has a long list of all of the different heretics and heresies that the church has opposed throughout the ages and says, and such like have been justly condemned by the Orthodox fathers. We agree with the fathers is what it's saying. And then it goes on, therefore, in this point, we do willingly receive the three creeds, namely, that of the apostles, of Nicaea, and of Athanasius. Likewise, that which conformably thereunto is agreed upon by the ancient fathers. The Belgic Confession is saying, we're going to walk the old paths regarding the doctrine of the Trinity. There's safety here in what the church fathers have already agreed upon here. It's a part of the proper, balanced view regarding tradition. But the other part of the proper view of tradition is that it does not blindly accept tradition simply because it's tradition. Instead, it evaluates all of it in the light of God's Word, because it's ultimately God's Word that sets before us the old paths. The proper view is interested in knowing why we believe what we believe, why we have the practices that we do. It seeks to understand these things. And again, the Belgic Confession is our guide here. The Belgic Confession teaches us a proper understanding concerning tradition. And here we look at Article 7. Article 7, talking about the sufficiency of the Holy Scripture, says in the second paragraph, neither do we consider of equal value, that is equal value with the Scriptures, any writing of men, however holy these men may have been with those divine Scriptures. Nor ought we to consider custom, or the great multitude, or antiquity, or succession of times and persons, or councils, decrees, or statutes, as of equal value with the truth of God, for the truth is above all. And it goes on to explain that more. We're not going to blindly accept what's been handed down to us, but we're going to analyze all of it in the light of God's Word. That's a part of the proper view concerning tradition. And that's a part of walking in the old paths. So now that we have, hopefully, an idea, an understanding of what are these old paths that we're talking about, now we come to the urgent calling of the text. And the urgent calling is to walk in them. Verse 16, stand ye in the ways, see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Now there's really three aspects to this calling that's set before us. First, the text tells us to stand and see. Stand and see. Do not plunge headlong down any path that you see before your feet. Do not rush forward without thinking. Nor should you simply blindly follow someone else as though that person, assuming that person knows where they're going, that person knows the right way. But stand and see. That is, stop at the crossroads. Make informed decisions, because there are forks all along the way. You can go right or you can go left. And when you get there, pause. Evaluate the ways. And make a good judgment. And even when you're not at a crossroad, even as you're simply walking along a path, observe the road signs, the trail markers. Make sure that you're still on the same path that you thought you were on. Stand and see. That first of all. Secondly, the calling is to ask. The text says, ask for the old paths. And there, we're to ask for them in two different senses. On the one hand, we're to ask for them in the sense of inquiring about them. We're to ask others to help point them out to us. When we come to a crossroads, when we're on a path that's unfamiliar to us, we ask others. We inquire about the old paths. That includes asking the elderly saints of the church, those in the congregation who've been walking on these paths for far longer than we have been. We do well to draw from their wisdom, from their experience, and inquire about the old paths. We can also even inquire about those who've gone, inquire from those who've gone to glory by reading their writings, by reading what others have said as about these old paths. For as Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that the church has not faced. And if we read the writings of the ancient fathers, of the reformers, of those who've gone before us, there will be much guidance regarding the old paths. But we ask for them not only in the sense of inquiring about them, we ask for them in the sense of insisting on them. We ask for the old paths when we say, give me the old paths. Really, from a certain point of view, we demand them. If there's talk of change, if there's a movement to go down a different path, we say, no, I want the old paths. Give those paths to me. We insist on them. But not only do we stop and see, not only do we ask for the old paths, thirdly, we're to walk in them. Stand ye in the way, see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Let this be the direction of your life. Go down this pathway as you walk. Live your life on these well-worn trails. For you see, even if we stop and see, even if we ask, but fail to walk in the old paths, everything else does us no good whatsoever. We're to walk in the old paths. And ultimately, that means more than merely walking. It means loving the old paths. Because it is possible, at least for a period of time, to walk the old paths thoughtlessly. To simply go through the motions without thinking. And now if we continue in that way, that's the first step to departing from the old paths. And thus walking in the old paths implies loving the old paths. Recognizing the beauty of the old paths. Delighting in them because they are delightful to our God. That's the calling that this passage sets before us. And this is an urgent calling. And the urgency of this calling is evident from what happened to Judah. Judah, as a nation, refused to walk in the old paths. The text itself teaches us that. After setting before us the calling, the very end of the verse, note at the beginning, thus saith the Lord. So the Lord says this to his people. Now the end of the verse, but they, the people of Judah, said, we will not walk therein. How chilling. How horrifying. The people of Judah had already been walking in the new ways, the bad paths. And God sent a prophet into their midst to warn them, to call them to repentance. And this is how they responded. We will not walk therein. They said, no. And because they refused, judgment came upon them. It's the whole context of Jeremiah chapter 6. For example, in verse 11, we read, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I'm weary with holding it in. I will pour it out, my fury, upon the children and upon the assembly. And specifically, that would come in the form of the Babylonian captivity. Verses 22 and 23 of the chapter, we read this. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, that is the Babylonians, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. Because Judah refused to walk in the old ways, judgment came upon them. The Babylonians came and either took their lives or carried them away into captivity, so that for many they were cut off in the line of generations. All this because they refused to walk in the old ways. So how will we respond to this word tonight? What will our answer be? By nature, it's the same as Judah's. By nature, we say tonight, we will not walk therein. By nature, we say, give me the new path of salvation. A salvation that I earn, at least in part, by my own works. Give me the new path of worship. I'm done with the old path of that boring worship service, that traditional worship service. By nature, we say, give me a new form of church government. One that moves at the speed of the times. I'm done with all the ordinances, all the rules and regulations. And by nature, we say, give me the new path of a life of sin and the pleasures of sin. And all of that points to the fact that the only possibility for us as individuals and for us as a church to walk the old paths is the Spirit's work in our hearts. The only possibility is that the Spirit of Christ work in us the willing and the doing of walking in the old ways. We need Jesus Christ, our shepherd, to lead us and to guide us along the old paths. We need His all-sufficient grace, His strength, which is made perfect in our weakness. That's the possibility. But now, as those who have the Spirit working within us, we do say tonight, give me the old paths. Grant us grace, O God, to follow the saints who've gone before us. And keep us from going astray. Keep us from wandering and starting down the new paths. But certainly the prayer and the desire of your pastor and your consistory, that should be clear to the congregation, especially of late. And I will add, I believe that's true of the denomination as a whole. When I talk to my colleagues in the ministry and hear their perspective on things, when I see the renewed zeal for studying the Reformed faith, for reading the writings of those who've gone before us, when I hear the prayers of repentance that have been prayed from the pulpits of our denomination, asking God to forgive us as a people because error was taught in our churches. When I see ministers and churches holding Bible studies, having lectures to explain the theology of the recent controversy, the ongoing controversy, I see a denomination saying, give us the old paths. And now we encourage one another in this. We hold each other accountable in this and warn one another about the danger of going down the old path exactly because that's our nature. By nature, we hate the old paths. By nature, every one of us wants to walk along the new paths. And now recognizing that we want to walk those old paths together, that is according to the new man, we seek to encourage one another. And if we see someone straying, going down a wrong path, we go to them and say, brother, do not go down that new way. That's the way that leads to ruin. Join me walking the old path. Because it's an urgent calling that comes to us this evening. And now to encourage us, to spur us on in walking the old paths, God Himself promises rest for those who walk in these old paths. So the middle part of the verse we've yet to touch. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. This passage clearly links walking in the old paths with finding rest for our souls. And thus this passage is yet another that shows us the importance and the utility of that little phrase we've been talking about, in the way of. We have to take that and apply that here. Because this passage talks about rest. And we know that true rest is found in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ earned this rest for us by His obedience. Specifically, His obedience of walking the pathway that God marked out for Him from all eternity. There was indeed an eternally planned path for Christ. It's the road that runs from Bethlehem to Calvary. It's the pathway that started in the manger that required Him to empty Himself, to take upon Himself the form of a servant. It was the pathway of obedience and submission to His sinful parents, bearing with their weaknesses and infirmities. It was the pathway that led into the desert for a time. And in that desert, there was
crossroad after crossroad, fork after fork, and at every one of them, the devil standing there, saying to Jesus, take the easy way. Don't go to Calvary. Here's a different way to get glory.
The pathway was the one that went through Nazareth, where he would be rejected by his hometown people. It was the pathway of suffering, of reproach, of humiliation and mockery. And it was the road that went to the cross. It was the pathway that required him to make atonement for our sins. The pathway that culminated in him being nailed to the cross and bearing the fury of our God for our sins. In Jeremiah 6, verse 11, God said, I am full of fury. I'm weary with holding it in. I will pour it out upon the children. And we recognize I deserve that. But our God unleashed it upon Jesus Christ. That's a part of the pathway. And understand that entire pathway was laid out before Christ. He knew what that pathway looked like. And Jesus' response to the will of his Father, who called him to walk on that path, was to say, I will walk therein. He did not say what the people of Judah said when God sent the prophet Jeremiah to call them to walk in the old ways, and they said, we will not walk therein. That's not Christ's response. He did not say, I'm going to stay up here in heaven, let them perish. But he said, I will walk therein. I will go that way for the glory of my God, for the salvation of my people. And because he walked that pathway perfectly, because he never once deviated ever so slightly from that pathway, he has earned for us our salvation and earned for us rest for our souls. And now Christ himself comes to us and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest for our souls is found in Jesus Christ alone. And we receive that rest by faith. That's the coming to Jesus Christ and the resting of our souls in him. That's the activity of faith. And now with all that in mind, we come to Jeremiah 6, verse 16, where it tells us to walk in the old ways and you shall find rest for your souls. And it's teaching us that we enjoy this rest only as we walk along the old paths, because there's no rest on the new paths. There's no satisfaction on the new paths. There's no contentment. Belongs to the very nature of the new pathways. That one is never satisfied because one's always looking for the next best thing. One's always desiring that which is new, that which is novel. And so there's no rest, but there's weariness, there's misery. And furthermore, there's no rest on the new pathways because they do not end in rest. They end in ruin. They are the pathways that lead to destruction. Instead, we enjoy the rest that we have in Jesus Christ only as we walk along the old paths. God's word to us is, walk on the old paths. The pathways that I have prescribed from eternity for you to walk therein. And you shall find rest for your soul. And as those who have so often deviated from those pathways. As those who have so often departed for the paths of sin, but yet have salvation in Jesus Christ, we now have the desire to walk the old paths out of thankfulness, out of gratitude to our God. And in this manner, God Himself leads us along the old paths that He might bring us to our destination, namely to heaven itself, where we will enjoy for all eternity rest in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, grant us grace. Grant us thy forgiving grace. For we confess, as individuals, as a congregation, and even as a denomination, we depart from the old paths. Father, we at times walk in the ways of sin. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. And grant us also thy transforming grace. Fill us with thy Spirit, work in us both the willing and the doing, that we might be led to walk the old paths that have been laid out before us tonight. Hear this prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.